back from the not really dead, but
depths.
But back nonetheless, Shenanigangsters with special guest host Ellie Stevens.
That's correct.
Da, 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 da.
Do I have a theme song?
No.
You're so good at making theme songs, though.
Ellie is Ellie Stevens coming on Shenanigangsters, yeah. Boop.
That was pretty literal.
Oh, did you want more figurative?
I don't know. Maybe something a little more abstract. Really? Like, what am I bringing to Shenanigangsters?
You are bringing presents
first. Yeah, so, bringing it back.
Yeah, bringing it back from the dead. So we should probably give a little Shenanigangsters update, sort of what's been happening.
Since we haven't had one in over a year, by the way.
Ellie, by the way, is also one of the biggest Shenanigangsters listener. Who's also constantly been like, where's another episode? I want another episode. Why aren't you guys putting out episodes?
Until I got really tired of doing that.
And then she got sad and was like, I'm not going to bother you anymore for episodes.
Yeah.
It should also probably be noted for the record that Ellie and I are also engaged in a relationship.
Yes.
Just in case you're probably relevant. If people are like, they seem very close. Which is why.
I mean, we are really
we
close
are
right now.
Physically as well as psychologically.
I mean, not like too close. No. We're not too close right now.
What does that even mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what if they were wondering sort of like where, how close
are you're not
are
on my
we?
Lap or anything. We're sitting in chairs. We could be. But that's beside the point. I don't even know where
this is going.
As a recap of Shenanigangsters history, it started. Shenanigangsters all started when I really wanted to do a podcast. And me and one of my best friends, Brian Villalobos, had every time we got together, I just loved the conversations we had. And I thought, oh my
because
God.
They are ridiculous.
I thought our conversations were ridiculous and funny and hilarious and interesting and deep, and they went everywhere. So I was like, I want to do a podcast. I want to do it with Brian because I don't want to do a podcast by myself.
That would be pretty boring. Yeah. You could just make voices at
I
yourself.
I could. Some people do. Mark Maron starts his podcast intro alone, but then he has a guest.
That helps.
So we started the podcast. It did 22 episodes.
That's right. You guys were on a roll.
We were. We had a pretty good roll, and I was surprised we got as far as we did. But basically the deal was, and this is not like Brian is not like off the podcast or anything. It's not like Brian is no more. He's not associated with. It was more like it was always the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to do a podcast, and Brian, I kind of had to drag him along a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that he like hated it or didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't think he was like kicking and screaming about it.
No, but it was like, you know, oh man, getting together every week is kind of a pain. And
right.
And we had many, many long, heartfelt discussions about it where I kind of had to be the taskmaster and be like, come on, get over here. We need to record podcasts. We got to record. Because the thing about podcasts is you got to put them out on a regular schedule. That's the thing about
it. That's right.
And I had to constantly be like kind of hounding him a little bit to get over here and do the damn podcast. And
well, it helps that I'm over here kind of all the time.
Well, yeah, that you now live here.
Right.
So that helps. And it also helps that you are someone else who I have, in my opinion, endlessly awesome conversations with.
Yeah, they're pretty
so,
good.
When it became apparent that I thought Brian was just not very interested, I naturally thought of you. I was like, well, I like the conversation Ellie and I have because you are equally silly and goofy and we go off on this tangents.
I don't think I cuss as much, though.
I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to have a cussometer.
Is that, instrument
there's probably
that you've made?
There's probably a filter in my recording software that
the FCC probably has something.
Maybe I can download a plugin.
Yeah, download an FCC plugin. And it like slaps you on the wrist. beep.
But you know, basically, Brian's always welcome to come back anytime he wants.
No, we're gonna beep out his name.
But I just got tired of not doing a podcast anymore, and I also got tired of like feeling like I was dragging my friend along, and making him do a podcast when he'd rather be doing other things with his time. So to all the Brian Villalobos fans, sorry. See, you cannot count on your weekly dose of Brian Villalobos, but if he ever is bored and wants to drop in, he's, of course, always part of the Shenanigangster family.
That's right.
But you will now fall in love with Ellie.
That's right.
but I mean in a podcast listener kind of way.
You know, Shenanigans Gangsters is really what got me listening regularly to podcasts, because I thought that your conversations on here were hilarious, and it kind of, because I think I had been a podcast listener right when they came out.
Right.
Right when podcasts were a thing. And then I never really listened to any. I kept trying things out and not really getting into the flow of them. But
do you listen to anything regularly now?
I listen to the Nerdist podcast sometimes.
Me too.
I know.
One of my main podcasts.
I know. So I listen to that one sometimes. I listen to a lot of Dharma.
Oh, yeah,
podcast.
Like Dharma, they're all about like Zen. And
they're all about Zen stuff. I'm really into Tara Brach. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it.
How's
Brach.
It spelled?
B-R-A-C-H, Brach.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Brach.
I think you got it. What's she do? What's her deal, man?
She's a pretty cool lady person. She is a psychologist, I think.
A psychologist.
Uh-huh. And she also has had a very spiritual life, a very spiritual living, and she writes a lot of cool books.
So it's all like it's spiritual,
titles,
spirituality stuff?
Yeah, and it's all Zen, and it's a lot of Buddhist. I don't know that, because Zen is a type of Buddhist kind of thing. So I'm not sure if her flavor is Zen, but she's very about Buddhist teachings and
finding peace.
Finding peace and finding tranquility and self-compassion. And she does, on her podcast, okay, I have a minor gripe about her podcast. So she does two main things where she gives
and a now, talk. New segment on Shenanigans Gangsters, Ellie's Gripe.
Ellie's Gripe.
We'll write a theme song for that too. Ellie likes most things she listens to, but doesn't like everything.
That's right.
So this is where she tells you about the thing that she doesn't like, and hopefully it'll listen and make it better.
Ooh, better. So one thing that I really like about her podcast is that she...
Is this a compliment sandwich?
Yes.
You're doing the compliment? Are you starting with good and then giving the bad?
Because I'm in Toastmasters, and so this is my constructive criticism.
Right. Start off with something good. Before you get to what you don't like.
So I really find her podcast really inspirational and very easy to connect with. I'll listen to some sort of Dharma talks, and even though I like what they're saying, I don't connect with it. But with her talks, I really always connect with them and with her books as well. But Ellie's Gripes. In her podcast feed, because she also does a lot of, she does the talks, and then she does guided meditations.
In the same podcast. So she'll be talking for a while and stuff, and she'll be like, all right, no.
No, she'll do one. I mean, she does sort of meditations or reflections during some of the talks, but she'll have one, I guess, episode.
Right.
That is a talk.
So like episode 24, how not to poop your pants or whatever.
That's not really what she talks about, but she would be more, if you poop your pants,
how to metaphorically poop your soul.
How to accept that you pooped your soul and sort of to be okay with the fact that your soul is covered in poop.
Right. And then the next episode
would be something about like guided meditation about thinking about your poop and what does that all mean. But if I'm listening to a podcast, usually I'm doing something else, or I'm walking, or I'm exercising, or I'm driving.
I'm
not really in the place where I'm ready to meditate.
Right, gotcha.
And so you have to skip those. And so it gets really annoying.
So it seems like almost...
It should be two podcasts.
Right. Like, she should almost have two podcasts. Like, just a series of guided meditations.
Yeah.
And then, like, her talkie talks.
Yeah. And actually,
I can see that.
I have that issue with a lot of the Dharma people. So, Dharma people.
Hey, Dharma people, stop putting your chocolate in our peanut butter.
Yeah, gripe.
Except for that's actually really good, chocolate and peanut butter. So, stop putting your chocolate in our spaghetti.
I don't know. That might be good, too.
I don't think that'd be very good.
I don't know. I don't think it would be bad. I bet they've... I mean, CeCe's Pizza, right? They have the chocolate on the pizza.
But it's not with tomato sauce and cheese.
Well, I know, but it's not... I mean, you could just mix spaghetti noodles with chocolate.
I have... That reminds me of a... apparently, this is not going to be... Let's gripe about other podcasts, because it reminds me
Wait. Let me finish my sandwich.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, finish.
Okay, so...
one-sided sandwich.
No, I know, because we're talking about chocolate, and what if you just had bread, and then chocolate, and then no bread
on the other side? Okay, so we've established that you don't like this. Stop mixing your podcast genres.
Stop mixing the versions.
Okay.
But that being said, I do, again, really enjoy her guided meditations, as well as the
when
talks.
You do them, when you find the time.
When I find the time to do them, but it is still something.
Are they
that I
clearly
really
labeled? So you know ahead of time.
They are clearly labeled, but if you're just listening to them on the go and they're going sort of one after another, then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I'm supposed to be.
So you're on the elliptical machine, and suddenly, oh crap, I'm supposed to be meditating.
Right, and then you can't meditate on an elliptical machine.
Can't you?
No. Not if the guided, because the guided meditation has instructions where it's all find a comfortable seated position and then close your eyes.
Well, maybe she needs to put out a guided meditation meant for being on the elliptical.
Well, yeah, but then that should be a different. That should be if she wants. Okay, Tara, if you're listening.
Tara Brach.
Brach.
Love your candy, by the way.
Yeah. Brachs.
Brachs.
Brachs. If you're listening, Tara, I really respect you. And I really love your podcast, and you should just split it into different categories so that I don't get sideswiped by a meditation.
While you're ellipticaling. Listening.
Or walking, or doing walking, whatever. Because I feel like that's what it is I feel like all of a sudden I'm kind of, and it's a weird thing to be slapped in the face with.
Slapped in the face with a meditation. Find a seated position and meditate now.
Do it. And then I'm like, oh shit, I can't.
Yeah, I have a similar, so obviously like one of the biggest things got me into podcasts, and the first podcast I ever started listening to were all of Kevin Smith's podcasts. Mm-hmm. First one being Smodcast. So called because it's Smith and Mosier. Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. SM. Smodcast. So he, what you're looking puzzled. S for Smith, M for Mosier.
Well, yeah, but it's
Smodcast.
But it sounds more like it's the Scott Mosier podcast because it's both of his initials.
Well, it could also be SM for Kevin Smith, so it balances out.
Yeah, but I feel
but
like
it's Smith
I feel
Mosier.
Like it should be I feel like it should be KSM Smodcast.
Well, it's not. It's Smodcast for Smith and Mosier.
Elias Gripes. Elias Gripes.
But the point is, so he also has like a billion other podcasts. I listen to a lot of them.
How many does he have?
A lot. But he used to have more. So he used to have one called Sminterview, where he would interview people.
With
Kevin Smith.
Well, then what's the M for in
just,
that one?
We don't need to delve into that. That's just...
Elias Gripes.
They smoo everything. And he also had Smoovie Makers, where he would, that was where he'd like specifically interview like movie makers.
Okay, well that makes more sense.
But now, both Sminterview and Smoovie Makers seem to have become defunct. Nothing has been posted there for a really long time.
That's sad.
But he often has episodes of Smodcast, where Scott Mosier can't make it for some other reason, and he'll have somebody else on.
I'm like, well, then that's not...
That's not Smodcast, and why don't you put that back over into Sminterview or Smoovie Makers instead of having this random interview on Smodcast, which is supposed to be Smith and Mosier. I expect both Kevin and Scott in my Smodcast. So that's my gripe there.
Is there a sandwich to that?
I really like all his podcasts.
All right.
And then I really like them again. So my two pieces of bread.
Yeah, no, that was.
No, I do. I mean, to be fair, I listen to a lot of them. I listen to Hollywood Babylon. And
you were featured on Hollywood
I
Babylon.
I was. They used one of my theme songs on Hollywood Babylon, so that was pretty cool.
It was a good theme song.
Inappropriate Toys is what they used
not
my theme song
for. Girls,
so, yeah, that's what got me interested in the old podcasts. And, and
did
now,
you ever have another podcast?
I did not. No, Shenanigangsters is my first and only podcast.
Wow.
It's a name I'd had forever and wanted to use it.
Yeah. And there's a website.
There is. Shenanigangsters.com, I believe. So as long as I've been there, I think.
I like that hesitation there. Dot. You know,
hopefully some people will actually hear this episode.
Maybe. We'll see.
If they're like subscribed or something, they'll see it pop up in their podcast player and be like, what the? I thought those guys were dead.
I don't think they thought you were dead.
They might have.
I mean, most of them are probably your Facebook friends,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's and true. Seeing... I mean, we probably don't have a lot of listeners who don't know me personally.
But... Right. But if we did...
If we did, they might have thought I was dead!
They could have had a Google alert out on you.
Ooh.
I don't know why they'd do that, but I mean, it seems like something
I would
fans. Do.
Sure, well, I have a Google alert out on me.
Really?
I do have a Google alert
Does it
on
have
me.
Updates?
Yeah, every now and then I get an email. It's like, hey, your name was mentioned here, or whatever. It's never anything... interesting because I'm not famous or anything. But, you know, like sometimes, I don't know.
Keith Allen arrested mainly for decent exposure.
Decent exposure.
Hey.
It's almost always, it's weird. There's lots of what seem to be aggregator sites, you know, mm-hmm. like sites that scrape other sites for information. And just basically, it's almost always like sites collecting film stuff, like people in films. So they obviously like went to IMDb or whatever and scraped film information.
Right.
And so they have, oh, here's film information. Heath Allen was in these films. Well, whatever, so
did you get any of the reviews that you were just in that were rated highly?
Because
you were mentioned.
I think
a
I
lot.
Did. If my name is mentioned somewhere Googleable, I will get an alert
on the Googlies
that says, "Hey, here's what you were mentioned, buddy." Except it doesn't actually say buddy.
It would be nice if it did, though. That would be really friendly.
That would be cool if you could select a theme. Like, I want kind of old 20s gangster alerts. I want, hey, buddy.
Hey,
your
buddy.
Name was mentioned over here on statesman.com, buddy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, other.
Or wherever. We don't need to stay regional.
No, I was just thinking that was, I think that's where I was
mentioned. Yeah, no, it was. Because you were mentioned several times in the Austin Statesman.
Ew. For the show, I just finished with 100 Heartbreaks, which was awesome.
That was really
awesome.
I love that
show. It is now done, so you can't see it.
Suckers.
But it was really good, trust me. You should have gone to see it.
You missed it, everyone.
Hopefully there will be another tour of it sometime or something, and we will be more awesome than last time.
Not very, very
I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know if it's possible. Yeah, you guys were pretty awesome. It was great. You should explain the show.
It's a very cool show by Joanna Garner, who started it out as a one-woman show. Now made it into a full-on production with a whole cast of people about this girl named Charlene Tucker, who's a country music singer who decides that in order to really be able to sing country music, you know, you need to have some pain behind you. And she decides that she doesn't have enough, you know, pain in her history, and she needs to go and get her heart broken 100 times.
Which is a lot of times.
That's a lot of heartbreak.
That is a lot of heartbreak.
Well, that's her point. She's like, if I got my heart broken 100 times, surely I'll be ready for Nashville. Because I'll have so much to sing about and so much hurt. Yeah. So that's the premise of the show, and it's really interesting. I played Mark Larson, who was her opening act.
Number 52.
Potentially if number 52 would heartbreak.
That's right.
What will happen? You won't know
you don't
unless
know.
We do more shows and you can come see them. Or you did see them. Or you.
In which case, you know what happened.
Talk to Joanna and she'll probably tell you. Or
she probably would.
Read the script or something. I don't know.
There's a website.
There is. I'm not sure. I think it's 100heartbreaks.com.
I think that's correct.
With 100 as in 100, not the words.
Not the words.
100heartbreaks.com. But it was a great show. It was one of the most fun
really
shows I think
fun.
I ever got to do because I got to act and play guitar and sing.
Well, and those songs were so catchy.
Yeah, really catchy songs.
I've got them stuck
written,
in my head.
All written by Joanna.
They're really fun.
Yeah, I've been ever since I've been rehearsing for this show, those songs have been stuck in my head, and I've been singing them usually with completely random alternate lyrics because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. You just moved the mic.
I did.
You're not supposed to do that.
I know how to work my stuff. It's okay.
You very specifically not told me not to move the mic.
No,
and now
I said don't grab and twist it because it'll strip the thingies out. See, I've got this not totally tightened over here, so it's all right.
So it's all right.
I know what's happening.
Okay. I just feel like I've been betrayed just a little bit.
Don't touch my mic!
Don't touch my mic!
And you are the only person who saw every show of 100 Heartbreaks because you worked the door.
I did see it. Well, not one night. One night
there
I went
was
with
one
my
night
mom.
That you, yeah, came to see it with your mom. Still canceled. You saw everything.
I did see
everything. It's too late. You've seen everything.
I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I did see it all, and I was really glad that I got to see it all because I like I mean, you know, I'm partial to you.
So I've heard
and
from you.
I was going to say from who? Who's spilling my secrets? But I really really loved the show. It was just really a fun, good time.
I was
glad a bunch of my friends came to see you.
Yeah, that was awesome. I saw a really good quote on Facebook from one of Joanna's friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very high praise for a show who basically said, what did he say? He said something like, country music, live bands, and romance are three things I don't like very much. I say that only to say that I really like this show, and
yeah.
It was like really beautiful and awesome and fun. And so even someone who like doesn't like the main ingredients of the show, really dug the show and thought it was really fun and good.
When I was in another, we're just going to talk about things we've seen on Facebook.
That's okay.
Another thing that I really liked about the show was where they put it on.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it
had, it was, so it's set in this dive bar.
Yep.
And they put it on in a dive bar. Yeah. So it was at the Sahara Lounge way east
on Weberville.
Eastern.
So if you're in Austin, check out the Sahara Lounge. It's a cool little dive bar, man.
Pretty cool. And the drinks are pretty
stylish. Like divey on purpose. Not like divey like it's a shitty bar. It's like.
No.
It's just got this, a real cool divey feel, real down, you know.
Yeah.
It's real local. And...
Yeah, and it just feels like a place that's been there forever, and it's weird, and there are
lights
everywhere. And
crazy African wooden figurines. And...
And they have swing dancing on Mondays and Africa night on Saturdays. And it's just it's a cool place, man. And the people who work there are really, really nice.
Oh, yeah, they're all really cool.
Good. The staff. Rhonda. I like Rhonda.
Yeah, Topaz.
Topaz.
So it's all good. That was a fun place to do it. So it was kind of sort of an event show, I guess you'd call it. But
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's still sort of a romantic musical.
Yes.
A romantic country musical. But what I liked about it, being at the dive bar, not that dive in, as in bad, but at the Sahara Lounge, which was a very unique venue for it, was that it was very immersive as an audience member.
Yeah, you felt like you were at the Charlaine Tucker show.
Exactly, and you were, because you guys on the stage would...
Taylorsville, Montana.
And woo! And it was really fun, or there's the one time, or there are a couple times when, you know, it's like, do you want her to tell the story? And the audience is like, yeah! And you feel like...
It's very interactive, yeah.
You're kind
like of... You're part of the audience to her show.
Exactly, and I was in, as I had some Facebook commenting back and forth the other day about how do we make take us like theater to the next level and live theater to the next level, and I've had my soapbox for a while about how important it is for it to be an immersive experience for the audience. If you look at what an impact that has on how big of a stake people have in the performance that they're seeing, and I think it's a really, really big deal that the audience feels like they're a part of it, or that they know they're part of the process in some
way.
And we've talked about that with, you know, how I really, really love to go see movies at the Alamo Drafthouse, because you go and there are themed things there, and you see the pre-show, and it gets you kind of warmed up. It's like an opening act to the...
Yeah, totally. It's just, it's got
it
a vibe, man.
Yeah.
And generally, it's...
Yeah.
I've always found the Alamo Draft House really peculiar, because you would think it's a public place, anybody can go.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think you'd get all types in there, but you really don't. There tends to be a really like good clientele there, people who like movies and generally mm-hmm. who are just more considerate and don't talk and stuff.
Sometimes.
The last time we went was the first time I've ever had a problem with somebody talking.
You know, I've had... So we were at the Slaughter Lane location, and that is the second time at that location that I've had a problem, because the other time what did I see? I went and we
more
saw...
talkers go to Slaughter, apparently.
Well, no, they weren't. Well, they were kind of talking, but they were just hardcore making out.
Oh, wow.
In the front.
I did not... But when was this?
This was, I don't know, like 2 years ago or something.
In the front of the theater.
Well, they had the little tables, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were on the floor, so the front row of the before the floor seats,
right,
start,
right, right.
I guess. And it was this kind of older couple, maybe mid-50s.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. And
And
they were... And it was a... I mean, I didn't really blame them, because it was a terrible, terrible movie.
What movie was it?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, you don't remember.
It was something... There was a helicopter
so
that
bad,
smashed
you don't remember.
Into a... I feel like it was a Die Hard, but it happened in Russia.
I really don't know.
It was something like... It felt like a Die Hard that happened in Russia.
Okay,
I don't
sure.
know if that ever existed.
Die Hard in Russia.
Die Hard in, Siberia or something.
And they
were just making out and kind of laughing and talking and very all over each other and just loudly making out, like slurping.
Loudly making
slurping
out.
Slurping on
That's
each
impressive.
Other's faces.
Wow.
And I raised a ticket.
Did you really?
And they got talked to.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
But I think when the server came by, every time the servers would come in,
they would just chill.
Because they were in the front row, right? They would just chill.
And
they looked like this innocent older couple. Clearly, this older couple they're not feeling each other up in the front row. But they were, damn it. And it was very distracting. That being
at least
said,
sit in the back.
Seriously. And that being said, it was still more entertaining than the movie. Uh-huh. Although there was a cool helicopter explosion in a building followed
in a Russia-like
in a Russia-like setting, and there I think there was a nuclear bomb or a dirty bomb
there's not already, there needs to be a band called Dirty Bomb.
I bet there is.
It's got to be.
I bet there is.
There's got to be.
Another one that would be funny would be Nuclear Wessel.
Spelled with a W.
Spelled with a W.
Wessel. I like it.
I like it too.
We are Nuclear Wessel.
We are Nuclear Wessel. It would just be really funny. Because then, although that might fail the Google test of can people Google it? Because people would you Google it with a V or would you Google it with a W?
I would Google it with a W if they said Nuclear Wessel. Especially if they don't use like Russian accents. They're like, hey, everybody, thanks for coming out. We're Nuclear Wessel.
I really like that name.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I like it.
Can this be the Nuclear Wessel podcast?
No, we're the Shenanigans Gangsters podcast.
Branding.
Nuclear Wessel.
Nuclear Wessel. It tickles me. That's funny.
But yeah, in general, I find Alamo, it's like just amazing. It's generally just good people who want to see a movie.
Yeah. And even I think when people are a little more disruptive, it's usually in a really excited about the movie kind of way.
Yeah, we saw Imitation Game was the one we saw.
That was
an older couple behind us just talking.
Just talking. Well, and they did the thing where they were just kind of talking. And then they did the thing where they ask each other, what did they just say?
Right. Does he know that guy?
And I'm sitting here saying, you know, maybe if you weren't talking,
right,
you would know.
Shut the hell up.
Maybe you shut your face and stuff your mouth with
shut
popcorn.
Your queso hole or whatever you're eating.
I don't know that they were eating anything.
What? You can't go to the Alamo and not eat something.
I don't know. Was that four? Was that a weird
don't time? Care. You got to eat. I mean, even you had we were going to dinner that night. You still had some popcorn.
I love the popcorn there. It's so good.
It feels weird to me to go there and not eat. Just because they were one of the first ones that did that. And it was like, it's so cool. You can go and eat while watching a movie and I love it.
I think their food has gotten better lately.
Oh, have you?
There's a stretch there where...
I've never had a problem with it, but you're not the first person to comment that quality of their food, either they didn't like it or it had gone down or something.
Yeah. Well, and I got uptight about the fact that this whole podcast is Ellie Gripes and we need to get onto
Ellie
a
Gripes,
different
Ellie Gripes,
the gripiest girl in the world.
Okay, woo. What is it?
Oh, just that they took off the quesadillas. They had quesadillas on their menu.
And they took those off?
And they were good.
Why would you take quesadillas away, man?
Right?
Now I want some.
No, I know.
I'm not even hungry and I want some.
I know, but it was one of those things that I was sitting there saying, what? How can you have better margins than this quesadilla?
Right? Come on, man.
I mean, it's an $8, $9 quesadilla that probably costs $1 to make.
Jeez.
What is the deal?
I don't know,
I just want you to make money on the things that I pay you for.
Do you feel? I'm worried.
You're
yawning. I am yawning. I'm worried that this first podcast back is low energy because I'm tired. I feel tired.
You've been tired a lot.
It's true. I've been busy, but...
Yeah.
Am I coming off tired? Do I sound tired?
I wasn't going to say that until you started yawning all over the mic.
That's like, now in Shenanigans, this is the time when we nap.
There's no nap time. There's no nap time in podcasts.
Worst podcast ever.
No.
You know, it might be a good podcast because like, some people they don't take the time to like sleep or take a nap.
Yeah.
Too busy. It's being like, listen to this podcast every week that's a nap podcast. I turn it on. I get to sleep for an hour. Because we all just nap together on the podcast.
That sounds really nice. Except for if you know, you start snoring or something.
It does sound. It sounds like one of those things, like, it could become huge. Like the guy who got, whatever, $40,000 for potato salad on Kickstarter or whatever.
Yeah. Or the cuddling. The cuddlers.
Yeah. The nap podcast. It's just an hour. You go, welcome to nap time. And, all right, everyone get on your pillow and let's have a nap now.
Yeah, everybody just calm down and
then there's just silence for an hour until Tina's like, Okay, hey everybody, that was a great nap.
Hey, let's get ready to go.
Go back about your day, and we'll see you tomorrow for nap time.
But see, that's like the guided meditations. It's guided nap time.
It's guided nap time.
Maybe I don't know.
Some
that
people,
could
you
be
know,
a thing.
Some people might need that kind of impetus and guidance to get some rest in their lives.
And so I've been reading, and I'm not sure that I recommend this book, everyone. But I've been reading that Miracle Morning.
Yes, there's a book that is a. I can't talk. My friend Matt recommended, I saw him recommend on Facebook, who I believe does listen or has listened to this podcast.
Hi, Matt.
In the past, and he'd recommended this Miracle Morning book, all about kind of becoming a morning person,
right?
And which
and
I'm
why?
Not at all.
No,
but I have heard many times about the benefits of being one and like why you should, and so like I'm totally willing to like give some stuff a shot and. We still need to, you know, work
do
on that.
That.
Yeah, there was also this free thing that came out recently. This is for the audience benefit, not Ellie, she knows. But this kind of free become a morning person email thing where there was like this 4 week long thing.
I thought it was going to be every day.
Yeah, I thought it was too, but it wasn't. But it kind of gave you like this week, concentrate on like, you know, this thing for the morning. The next week, okay, now we're going to start like... Don't hit snooze. Instead, get up and do these stretches. And then, okay, hey, add some Pilates here. And then nutrition. Here's some good things to eat in the morning and all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm still determined to actually try it, like, in earnest. We haven't.
Yeah,
we kind of half-assed it for a while, and then we just...
I might have
then
even...
Then just no-assed it.
I think I quarter-assed it from the very beginning.
And there was just very little ass from the beginning, and eventually there was no ass involved.
No ass at all.
We are no-assing it. But I'm really curious to really if we've diligently followed it for like a month, do the 4 week thing and see if it really makes a difference.
Yeah,
because you know, get up and do stretches, do some Pilates, and
it's a good idea.
Have a green smoothie for breakfast as they recommend. And but the thing is, like now that it's over, or whatever, I think, you know, I've got all the emails collected.
Yeah.
So that it'd be kind of easier to like look at the whole course now and be like, all right, well, let's try this one more time.
Sure.
With all of our ass involved.
Full ass.
And yeah. That was Matt Hernandez, by the way, was the Matt I'm speaking of.
Okay. I don't think I know
who, I met doing the web series Arcana, which was really cool sci-fi series inspired by things like X-Files and Doctor Who and stuff.
Those are good things.
It was a fun web series starring Brian Villalobos and Akasha Villalobos, in fact.
We know them.
Among other folks such as myself. I have a turn in episodes 3 and 4 as Chris.
As Chris?
As Chris. Chris. I won't tell you anything more about Chris. Go watch Arcana, the web series.
Oh my gosh.
What?
I don't know. I feel like now I'm really excited to hear more about Chris, and now you're just sort of shutting it down.
I can't. I don't want to spoil.
That's fine.
Because it's a good little character arc. In the Arcana web series.
It's an Arcana arc.
An Arcana arc. Yeah. Lots of good people in it. Aaron Alexander's in it. And just a great cast overall. Eric Munoz, that's where I met Eric Munoz, because he directed some episodes.
I know that guy.
Yeah, you know that guy.
I know that guy. I've seen that guy around.
So yeah, Arcana. I believe it's ArcanaWebSeries.com, but I'm not sure. Just Google Arcana
Google
web series.
Just use the Google machine.
You know, if I wasn't lazy, I could probably put links in the show notes here. I probably won't.
But you could.
If I remember, maybe I will. We'll see what happens when I post this.
If you post this.
Crap shit. Oh, wait, no, it'll get posted. It's going up. Shenanigans gangsters must live.
Oh, so what I was saying was from this Miracle Morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is another Ellie gripe?
Oh, gosh. This whole thing is just Ellie gripes. This was about nap time.
Oh, about nap time. Okay. Well, you were saying you can't necessarily recommend the book.
No, I can't necessarily recommend the book. And I won't get into that because it's just another Ellie gripe. But one of the things that I did like about the book was that he's talking about how important it is to have good intentions before you go to sleep and when you wake up. So that, you know, if you believe, man, even though I'm going to get up early, tomorrow morning when I wake up, it's going to be great and I'm going to feel rested and everything is going to be amazing. And that's what you kind of try to hold in your head as you go to sleep, then it's far more possible that you will actually wake up with that intention.
I've heard several people talk about similar mindsets of just being like, you know, really looking forward to the next day. And like,
yeah,
you go to sleep going, ah, I'm so glad to be going to sleep so that I can wake up tomorrow and have this awesome day. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And then when you wake up, and I think that the morning class thing you were just talked about this too, you know, have some affirmations that you start the day off with. Like, today is going to be the greatest day, and it's going to be the greatest day because I'm going to get to work and I'm going to clear out my inbox, and I'm going to, you go very specifically through how successful your day is going to be, very specifically.
And I know, you know, a lot of people just immediately wince at,
oh, I do,
and stuff like affirmations and you know, all this positivity bullshit or whatever, you know? Which I don't. I'm totally down with that.
I wince.
Well,
and then I turn it into Ellie gripes.
Good job.
I don't think that's really good. I'm trying to stop that.
No, but I mean, there's a lot of scientific evidence. Specifically, so I know something I was just telling you about the other day, mm-hmm, that I'll share with everyone else. I've heard multiple times, multiple sources, all about how physicality is linked, mm-hmm, to your emotions and your mental state. So they say, fake it till you can make it. Like, so for example, to boil it down to simplest terms, if you're not in a good mood or whatever, like, smile, like force yourself to smile.
Yeah, or like the power.
Yeah, or like open body positions, yeah, and all that stuff, or just and it has a psychological, because your mind links those two. So it's, mm-hmm, not only like when you're feeling happy,
yeah,
your body smiles.
That's a physiological.
But it works
thing
in reverse as well, where if you smile, it triggers those areas of your brain, and it does like release those chemicals or make you happy or whatever and things like that. And that's not like, as far as I know, it's not like pseudoscience bullshit. I mean, this is stuff, this,
like,
as
real
far as I know,
science.
Yeah, like actual,
it's
science.
Hard science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. I'm pretty sure it's hard science.
We're pretty sure it's not impotent science, but we're not really sure how
at
hard
least,
it is.
At least semi-erect science.
Semi-erect science.
At the very least.
Another really good band name.
But, you know, again, a lot of semi-erect science.
Hey, everybody, we're semi-erect science.
They're opening for Nuclear Wessel.
We've got a bill.
We're getting it's going to be a festival soon.
It's going to be.
But, yeah, and again, it's one of those things I think a lot of people just don't want to do because they feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm not going to sit here and just do stupid smiling like an idiot bullshit.
No, definitely. Know,
but it's like, man, give it a chance, man.
Give it a chance.
Give it a chance. It'll work, man.
Give it a chance. Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe it won't.
I mean, there's no guarantees from this part.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee anything, all right?
Guarantee any results.
Because first of all, if you go in with a really shitty attitude.
Right. It's probably not going to work.
If you're like, fine, I'll smile. This is going to help.
Regardless of how erect the science is. If you go into it with a shitty attitude, you're going to have a bad time.
Science Viagra.
We can't get it hard for you, but we can show you what to do.
Viagra needs a theme song.
I bet it has one.
It does. It should, because that's what you said. Viagra, we get it hard for you.
That's nice. That's a little nice. That's a little too nice. That doesn't sound sexy.
It's all right.
If Viagra has a theme song, it should be sexy.
You think? It's like, yeah, some 70s disco wah-wah guitar.
Yeah. Viagra, I'm going to give it to you, yeah.
Viagra, going to make sure you can get some.
Yeah.
We'll give them several options.
We'll give them a lot of options.
We'll give them like four or five options. They can pick the theme song.
They pick what they want.
Yeah, sure.
And then we're good. Although what's the one? Cialis?
What about
that? I don't know. They have a commercial that makes me laugh where it's the older couple who are very, very active and attractive and all of these things.
And other active words?
And other active.
Active and attractive and.
Active, attractive. I can't think of another one.
No, radioactive.
Radioactive.
But that's just active.
That's just
that's
active.
A form of, yeah.
This is a bad.
Proactive. No.
No, it doesn't work.
Attractive is the only. Yeah, okay, anyway.
Older
couple in
a
Cialis commercial.
But
they're about to bone.
They are totally about to bone, and they
because
are...
Because it's a Cialis commercial.
Well, that's the whole point. But they
if not, then they're not...
Their foreplay, I guess it is, is they go out... I don't think they're sailing, but they're watching sailing and having a nice dinner, which, you know, is
okay,
pretty romantic. And
sure,
then they're going to take a drive in their convertible, which is pretty great.
Up to the
and
water tower.
And then, yeah. And then she whips out the iPad.
What?
And they're going to watch Downton Abbey.
What?
Shit you not. I shit you not.
This is a Cialis commercial.
This is a Cialis commercial.
And they have Downton Abbey on an iPad.
On an iPad.
In the car?
In a convertible. They're going to bone in the car.
What?
To Downton
the hell?
Abbey.
Okay, Cialis.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Downton Abbey is pretty sexy.
It's not very sexy.
Have you seen those costumes?
But there's very little sex. It's very repressed.
Well, yeah, but it's enough for the older generation. The baby Downton boomers. The baby boom was getting hot and bothered by Downton Abbey. Bust out the Cialis.
Take a little Cialis, watch some Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Make sweet love down by the fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Anyway, but that just tickles me every time because I'm like...
Downton Abbey.
I know.
I'm almost curious. I want to know if anyone's gotten laid watching Downton Abbey.
I'm sure. I mean,
purely by the odds, it has to have happened. But
I mean, people.
I'm talking about it has to be directly related, not just sort of like it was on and you happened to be having sex, but more like, yeah, we're watching Downton Abbey.
But I'm sure you could say that about like anything. I mean, I'm sure people have been. Ooh, we were watching CNN.
I'm sure, again,
and it got me all hot and bothered. And
I knew that scrolling ticker.
Oh, yeah, scroll harder, baby. Or something. I don't know. I don't know what it does for people.
From CNN specifically, you mean?
Yeah, from CNN specifically. You know, there are a lot of things that I'm into. CNN is not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Downton Abbey, but it's never sort of made me warm in my special places.
Well, maybe that's why you need Cialis.
No. I do not think I need Cialis so that I can get a boner during Downton Abbey.
I don't know. It might help.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't feel lacking for because not being turned on by Downton Abbey.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
It's your funeral.
No,
it's your boner roll.
I don't think it's that either. Really,
it might be.
It's my normal
roll. Normal roll. It's not a thing.
I have my all guitar version of Downton Abbey on my website.
You do. It's very rockin'.
Rockin's called Downton Abbey Rocks. But the other thing I wanted to do is and I was just trying to say whether I should talk about it or just do it.
Well, I don't
talk
know.
About
I feel like you should do it now.
Well, I don't know what it is. I wanted to mash up Downton Abbey and the X-Files theme. I thought they'd go well together.
Oh, yeah.
Because Downton Abbey starts with a... Said go well together. I think
that
it would work.
That would totally work.
So I got to do a Downton Abbey X-Files mashup.
They should make a show, though, that's Downton Abbey plus X-Files mashup where...
That'd be awesome.
You know, then they're at Downton Abbey and then something crazy happens and then Scholder and Mulder. Well, it can't be Mulder and Scully, obviously, because it would
Well,
be...
it could if it was an actual crossover.
Yeah, that's true.
An actual crossover.
I don't know. I'm really...
Because I've heard that there might be like a 2015 X-Files something happening.
I have heard
happening.
Of this as well. And I'd be down with that.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, Scholder and Mulder.
Although, to be fair, I never finished actually watching the X-Files series after... Because like Mulder left and Robert Patrick came on.
I never watched that.
And so I watched most of it, but I never watched the entire series, I don't think.
I think I watched...
I did see the movies when they came out.
They were fun.
It's so long ago now. I don't remember where I stopped with
How
the series.
How long ago was that? Was that like 20
know.
Years ago?
Probably. Probably.
Even I'm getting old.
What? You age as well?
I know. Where's my picture of Dorian Gray?
It's right here.
Age
reversal machine.
Ellie's griping about getting older.
So, yeah, Downton Abbey and X-Files. I'd dig it. I'd watch it.
I think it would be cool. And then they've got to investigate on the...
Lady Grantham's disappeared.
Lady Grantham has disappeared.
She was last seen following a strange light.
We're here from...
Louth out on a moor.
Scotland Yard. Investigating strange occurrences. And then they'll have the dashing American come in.
Yeah, Mulder and Scully happen to be over there on vacation or something. Or maybe they're falling.
They're following
some sort of mystery.
Mystery. It was on a ship.
Led them to Downton Abbey.
Well, no, because they were investigating the crash of the Titanic, which they think was linked, like the iceberg wasn't really an iceberg. It was an alien. Yeah. No. Okay. I've got this.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Okay. So the iceberg that sunk the Titanic. Okay. Because that's how Downton Abbey opens, right?
What?
Right?
Downton Abbey opens with the sinking of the Titanic?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I've seen them all.
Spoiler of the very first episode, the first 30 seconds right. or something. Because that's where Lady Mary's fiance was.
Okay.
It's
been so long since I've seen that, I guess.
Was
I
on
I
the Titanic. Very good retention. And he died, we're pretty sure. I don't know if that was ever.
Okay, so anyway.
Anyway, whatever. With you. So the Titanic, Mulder and Scully are investigating that the iceberg that sunk the Titanic really shouldn't have been there. And so what could have caused it? And it's probably some kind of
undersea gnome hat.
Or
like a giant undersea gnome, and that's the point of his hat.
Or not. Or it's some like spacecraft. Or some part of some meteorite or something. Okay. And so,
a giant fang, because it's like a mouth. It's like a giant mouth. And then like in the Millennium Falcons inside that asteroid space worm.
Yeah. But then with the Titanic, have been going into an alternate dimension kind of thing? How would that work?
Well, it was like just sailing, and then like the big giant sea creature was like, rah, it was coming.
And it missed it?
Well, it hit the iceberg / fang.
Yeah.
And then sank.
That would be cooler if the Titanic... I mean, the Titanic was a horrible tragedy. I'm not trying to make, light of that. But that would only work if I think they hadn't actually found the Titanic.
Sure, that'd be... Well, yeah, because then it'd be like, what happened to it? It's in the belly of the sea monster.
Right, that would totally work. But, I mean, they went down and they saw it with the submarine. I was really into the Titanic when I was little.
Really?
It was kind of cool.
I was too. I was really into like all those
shipwrecks. And
yeah,
stuff.
Well, just like all the mysteries, like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and all that stuff.
But the Titanic isn't really a mystery.
No, it's not. But I was also interested in that because it was. No, you're right. It's not really a mystery.
It's not really a mystery. It kind of happened.
But it still interested me somehow. I don't know why, but it's sparking that same area of my brain,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really know why.
I don't know. But see, that's what happened with Mulder.
Right.
And so he's that's that same area, and he says that, something about this doesn't add up. And so they're investigating that. And then in like season 4, because you can't wait too long, because otherwise, like you forget that it opened.
Yeah.
It opened with the Titanic. But yeah, they're investigating it, and then they've actually uncovered a conspiracy between the early pre-forefathers of the United Nations, because that wouldn't have been around then. but like the secret world organization has a conspiracy to, hide the fact that this ship has landed and that we're all going to die of some virus or something. And Lord Grantham is actually in on this secret, or he's rising in power to where he could know more
and
about
the secret. The iceberg that sank the Titanic is part of this.
It's part of this ship conspiracy. Or whatever, whether it's the ship,
it's still around. You can like still go and find the same iceberg.
Right, right. And so they're gonna have to go on search for it.
Scrapings from the Titanic on it,
but Mulder is gonna fall in love with Lady Mary.
What?
Yeah.
Are they going to do it?
Yeah, they're going to do it.
Because Lady Mary, she does it. She's done it with a few people.
She's pretty awesome.
She's not afraid of doing it.
No, I mean, she kind of should be because of society.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care about society. I want to do it.
I don't care what other people think.
I'm going to sleep with this man because it feels good.
Because I was watching Downton Abbey and it got me all hot and bothered. This is a terrible accent for Lady Mary. That is not what she sounds like.
It's not what she sounds like at all.
At all. No, Father. No. Well, no, Dad is not involved in this at all. Oh, no.
I'm so confused now.
I don't even know what's going on.
X-Files / Sexy Downton Abbey.
I know. Hey, you know what?
It's happening over here.
Still sounds pretty good. I'm telling you, you don't even need Cialis when you mix Downton
Abbey. X-Files are done.
Yeah.
Get some Mulder and Scully and some Lady Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, get a nice fire going. Put Maggie Smith in there somewhere.
She's saying something sarcastic and
yeah,
saucy.
I mean, that's, yeah, she's saucy.
Was she ever young?
I don't know. She's one of those that's been sort of the same age for a really, really long time.
I feel like I don't know. I feel like I...
I mean, she was young.
Yeah, so you'd hope.
Yeah. I want to age like that. I want to find my age.
Yeah.
And then just be that age forever. Like, I feel like Patrick Stewart does that.
Yeah, he's been seemingly the same age forever.
For like 30-something years. And that's what I want to do. I want to get to that age and then just be that age.
I can dig it.
Because I think Judi Dench kind of did that. A lot of those British ladies kind of got that. Helen Mirren did that. I think Meryl Streep has done that to some degree.
I'm doing it.
You're doing that? You've done that.
I might have to switch, though.
What do you mean?
Because I've been like 25 for...
I don't think
many years now.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think you're really 25.
I have to
anymore.
Switch.
You might be like 35 now.
No, I'm still 25.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then you might be a little young for me.
Actually, I feel like I'm in a new era now.
Really? When did that change?
I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Was it with the hair?
Maybe. Yeah, because I'm in a new era. Yeah, maybe. I've just assumed a new era of my life, new hair length, new everything, accepting my age a little more.
Which is good. But once you find the age, you just stay
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
You just stay there. I think
Well, I think there's like an elderly age. Like, they seem like they probably had a different age, but then they got to a certain elderly age, and that became their new.
Yeah.
The new bar to stay at.
Yeah, I think you could probably rock a late 30s. Early 40s for forever.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I thought I might have to eventually, you know, somewhere along the way become a 50s, 60s and like just keep that.
Yeah, but I think for the next long while, you can be a late 30s, early 40s
yeah,
for
all right,
like
sure. I'll take it.
15 years.
Let's do it. I accept.
All right.
Because we have
welcome. You're welcome. We'll get that picture made up for you right quick.
Very good. It's called my headshot. Bam.
You got new headshots.
I did, from Adam Moroz.
Yeah,
he's good.
Those were good. Those were really nice.
He's a great guy. Did a good shoot.
He did.
Especially since I hate having pictures taken. But
well,
did.
Who doesn't?
I don't know. Some people probably.
Probably models.
I don't know. They might.
I don't know.
I hate this so much.
No, I would really hope that they like having their picture
but
taken.
Okay, give me lots of money and take my picture.
If you must.
Fine.
Fine.
Oh, man.
If you must. I don't know. You look like you're about to go to sleep on that mic. You do need to buck up.
Oh, it's nap time.
It's not nap
Welcome
time.
Welcome to Nap
That's our other podcast. And then we won't do it in between other podcasts. We'll do a different podcast.
And then, of course, what sucks is, you got to record your napcast. And you're like, okay, welcome to Napcast. Sadly, I'm not really tired right now. It's going to be really awkward. I guess we should try sleep. But, man, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not tired.
Well, then what happens when you have to, sometimes when you're napping, you have to get up and go pee?
I don't know.
And you're like, hey, guys.
Do you just record it, but you don't comment on it because everybody else is napping?
I don't know.
So, like, if they're not able to sleep as well, they might hear you get up and pee.
I don't know. Or, what if the dog comes in? Because she's been really good while we've been podcasting.
She's just chilling on the floor. She's tired. Yeah. Long hike yesterday.
She did. She had a good time.
You following any Oscar stuff happening?
Me?
Yeah. I'm not really.
Sort of. I mean, I know a lot of the people who are nominated. I know that Selma got kind of shafted.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah,
I
seem to have got the gist of that from the internet as well.
Yeah, the internet said that Selma got shafted, as did the Lego movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I've never seen, but I've heard nothing but awesome things about.
Everything is awesome. Everything is
cool.
Yeah,
and people are like,
you're part of a team.
Yeah, I remember there was so much outrage all over my Facebook feed. We're like, oh, my God, how could that not be nominated for Best Animated Movie? It's ridiculous.
Really, really, really cute and good.
I've heard it's amazing.
It is. It is awesome. We should watch it.
We should. Maybe we'll go watch it.
Maybe we should do that tonight.
Maybe.
All right.
Except we have 4 billion pounds of clothes to put away.
Oh,
But
laundry. I know, laundry is not awesome.
No, it's not. It's, no matter how many times you do it, you got to keep doing it more.
I know.
You're never done. God.
I need laundry Cialis to where I'm excited about doing it, you know?
Not that you get a boner, but
not that you get a boner, but then you're ready to
go. Just like a drug that makes you enthusiastic to do laundry. Like, fuck yeah, let's do some laundry!
Woo! Let's put on some Downton Abbey.
Put on some Downton Abbey and do some fucking laundry.
Kaylee's excited about that.
Kaylee got excited about...
about the laundry. She's got the laundry Cialis. She's ready.
Too bad Kaylee can't do laundry then. Kaylee, go do some laundry. That'd be a trick.
Can we teach her to do that?
Go do laundry, Kaylee. Go do laundry.
Who wants to do laundry?
Who's a good girl who wants to do laundry?
She's pretty into this. She seems into this.
She's wagging her tail. She likes it.
Yeah, we're not making that up.
No. Go do laundry, Kaylee. Okay, well, I'll show you what clothes go on what cycle.
She can't even walk.
Jump
next
up on your hind legs. Press the little button.
She can't even get walking next to us.
Okay, for the pink basket, jump up and press the button until it's on cool.
Yeah, she could totally do that. She really could not. She's very pretty. She's a pretty dog. We should post a picture of her. I'm saying that because she's my dog and I love her.
She is pretty awesome.
She's a great dog. But she's tired because we went on a nice hike, which was really nice because it's been so pretty.
It was a beautiful day yesterday.
It was so beautiful. And the sun was out and it was Valentine's Day. And we had a picnic. It was nice.
It was great. It was wonderful.
We went with my friend.
Turkey Creek. We hiked Turkey Creek.
With the dogs. When we were walking into the trail and there was this little, so it's an off-leash dog park. Up off of City Park Drive or Lane or whatever it is. And there was this little boy who looked kind of tired and he was complaining to his mom, griping to his mom. And he was saying, why are there so many dogs here? I wish there weren't so many dogs here.
At the dog park?
At the dog park. But, you know, it's a kid. He doesn't really understand.
Take him to a kid park.
Exactly. But it made me laugh because I was like, you're at a dog park, buddy.
Good luck, kid.
This is...
Your day is not going to get any better.
Yeah, this is the whole time. Nothing is getting better from you. And his mom just said, you're lucky to be here. You're lucky dogs let you in their park. She's like, I don't like dogs.
Wow, dude.
Poor kid.
That's...
You're sitting at a dog park now.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place,
You're totally in the wrong place. You're about to get muddy dogs running up to you.
Muddy No, he was one of my favorite Mississippi blues musicians.
Muddy Dog.
He was great, man.
He was great. Those lost recordings of his.
Yeah, they're still lost.
Yeah, we never found them.
Can't find them.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Need Nicolas Cage to go find them or something.
I'm looking for the...
He was a national treasure, right?
I'm looking for the lost recordings of Muddy Dog. Oh! Excuse me for not turning my phone off.
Yeah.
While we're podcasting,
jerk.
Let's see the Star Wars Cantina theme. It's my ringtone.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I often get many compliments when people hear my phone ring.
Oh yeah.
They're like, yeah, all right, good ringtone, buddy.
You're a cool guy.
I like it. Cantina song. All right.
Yeah. Now, if you put the Downton Abbey song on there, you might get some different responses. People being like, hey, you want to watch, you like some Downton Abbey.
With the Downton Abbey theme to make things romantic for people listening to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you just take some Cialis? Well, here's the Downton Abbey theme.
I don't remember how it goes. Now all I can think of
pretty much.
That was okay, because now all I can think of is the X-Files theme.
We're gonna mash that shit up.
You should.
I'm gonna mash it up.
Like potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Because that's a good mashing metaphor.
Yeah, because you've got to mash them.
Because people like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And then you throw butter in them.
Yeah, and sour cream.
And do you do bacon bits?
No.
What? No bacon? Why not?
I might make them with bacon grease, but I don't like just bacon bits in there because I feel like when you go to reheat the mashed potato, it's okay. This is about to get really, really in depth. I feel like when you make mashed potatoes with bacon bits in there, that when you reheat them, the bacon bits are such a different like texture and consistency and the fact that there's a protein. Well, I don't know how it works, that it heats, reheats differently.
Why don't you just finish your damn potato?
Well, what? That's not the point.
It is a point, because then you wouldn't have to reheat shit, because you would have finished your damn potato.
Well, I'm not eating just one potato. I'm making mashed potatoes, which might involve like 8 potatoes or 6 potatoes.
I thought we were talking about a baked potato, weren't we?
We were very specifically talking about mashed potatoes, because we were talking about mashups.
That's true. We started there, but then I thought it somehow baked potato got mentioned.
No. You've got...
Wow, I'm really tired.
You are really tired. You don't even know what kind of potatoes we're talking about.
Because I don't think I've ever had bacon bits and mashed potatoes.
Oh, I have.
Just had them in baked potatoes.
Oh. Well, I don't eat them in baked potatoes.
Butter either. And sour cream and some bacon bits and some cheese.
Yeah, no.
Welcome to How Do You Like Your Baked Potato? That would be a very short podcast.
I know. I like it with butter and cheese.
Next week, we'll have someone else on telling us how they like their baked potato.
I don't like baked potatoes. Get off our podcast.
It's fair enough. Thank you for coming. We like to represent all views on how do you like your baked potato, including I don't. Viable.
Take your potato and shove it up your...
I'm going low carb.
I'm going low carb.
I like to eat just the bacon bits because I can eat as many of those as I want because there's no carbs.
Yeah, I just don't get how that works. I feel like it's like balance.
I can eat 5 plates of bacon and it's fine because there's no carbs.
Yeah, but there's...
I can eat 42 high-fat burger patties and it's fine because there's no carbs.
Dear God, please don't eat that many burger patties. No.
No, it's cool. There's no carbs, man.
That doesn't mean...
Dr. Atkins said it was okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, you can eat a guitar and there are no carbs.
To be fair, I don't think Dr. Atkins said that was okay.
Is he a doctor?
People like to say, oh, Atkins, you can eat anything as long as you... Pretty sure it's still like, don't eat a plate of bacon.
I don't know.
Because that's a lot of fat.
Yeah, that seems bad.
And I'm pretty sure Atkins would not be down with it.
No, he'd probably say, hey man, don't eat a plate of bacon.
He would probably say that. And I think that's a pretty spot on Dr. Atkins' impression.
No, hey man,
don't eat a plate of bacon.
Don't eat a plate of bacon. That's my Dr. Atkins impression.
Dash Dr. Atkins.
Dash Dr. Atkins.
There's a quote there.
Yeah. Hey man. What a... Don't eat a plate of bacon. I don't know why that makes me laugh. It's really funny.
I like it too.
You've got a new impression.
I've got a new impression.
That's my Dr. Atkins impression.
Hey, everybody, listen. This is Ellie's impression of Dr. Atkins.
Hey, man. Don't eat a plate of bacon. That wasn't even as good.
You don't think it was good?
No.
It lacked some magic?
It did. I think because I was too excited about it. I was smiling. Hey, man. Don't eat a plate of bacon. That was it.
Nailed it.
Hashtag.
All right. Well, in that case, we should probably get out of here because it's not getting any better now.
It's really not. It can't.
It's not getting
it's
any better.
It's impossible than my impression of Dr.
So, welcome back, Shenanigans Gangsters. Hopefully, this will be another regular thing again.
Yeah, maybe.
And next time, I'll try not to be so tired. And
you can try.
And remember, as Dr. Atkins says,
hey, man, don't eat a plate of bacon.